Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. To help us understand this story, I'm going to tell you another one because I want to ask your advice. What would you do? Once, my wife and I were going away for a weekend, and we needed somebody to look after the house and the dogs. We got two dogs and a cat. And we said, could you, it was nobody here. And we said, we'll pay you quite a bit of money, actually, it was. We showed them where the food was. Said, could you take them for a walk twice a day? That's the dogs. The cat manages to do that. Just go in twice a day, take them for a walk, and feed them. Here's where everything is. So we go away on the Friday evening, come back Sunday evening, and turn up at the person looking after everything. And we said, how did it go? Is it okay? And this is what they did. They went, totally forgot. Oh, I'm so sorry. Now, if you'd been us, what would you do? Honestly, what would your reaction be? I haven't got time to get all your advice, so tell me after the service, but just turn to your neighbour and tell them, what would you do if that was you? I'll give you a minute. Okay, hopefully you've had some idea. I am going to hazard a guess at what you might have shared. What you said, I suspect, is how God feels and what Jesus is talking about in this story that he tells with all urgency to his disciples. For every day, something far, far worse happens across the world, perpetrated by people, good people, like you and me. Jesus is telling his disciples and you and me, do not be like them, for this is what God and his kingdom is like. Verse 14, Matthew chapter 25. The kingdom of God, said Jesus, will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Let's stop there for a moment. In this story, God is the rich man. You and I are the servants. God has entrusted us with his property. Jesus is saying, look after the property you have on loan, for God's sake. I'm not swearing, for God's sake, literally. It will be good for you. That's the message of this story. It's supremely urgent. This story says that I, myself, and you, we are like one of these servants. And we either do our job of looking after well, like 2 of the servants, or the other one who just didn't bother. Here's a picture. It's a helpful picture, I believe, a prophetic picture from God we were given. Olivia, if you could just put up the first slide. That you and I are like a painter with a palette of colors that God has given us to paint the picture of his kingdom with our lives. That's what this story is saying. What's in your palette? What has God given you? What has he entrusted you with? I'm going to put on this communion table, deliberately on this table, some of the gifts that God has given you. On the communion table, because here, in a few moments, we will be seeing signs of the supreme gift God has given. That is his son, Jesus Christ. He has given you the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me, that we have a God who is our Father in heaven, who is going to call us to account for all the ways we have used his gifts, but not as some hard man, as some menacing despot, but as our Father in heaven, who in this sign of Holy Communion, as we call it, has given his very life blood and the flesh of his own flesh, his son, his word in the flesh, for us. How are we going to look after what he's given us in keeping with his great love? He's given every one of you, symbolized by this clock here, our time on earth. Each of the servants getting different amounts of talents, as we each have different times, durations, lifespans on earth. He has given to us, as we saw earlier, gifts, talents. In Jesus' day, a talent was 6,000 denarii. That was what a day laborer would earn in 20 years. Do the maths. It's a huge amount of money. So one of the servants is multi-talented, the equivalent of 100 years' worth of wages. You too, you are talented, every one of us. You might have come from a week where you're saying, oh, I am such a failure. I do not have any talents. God's word says to you, this story says, that's a lie. Every one of God's people has gifts that he has lavished on us out of his love. And he longs, just like a good father, longs to see their children grow and enjoy their gifts. He's looking for us to do the same with our gifts. Let's put this on the table as well. Each of us has, by the grace of God who heals and strengthens, that's representing our health and strength. Yeah, you might say, I don't have any. I'm just overwhelmed by life. I've got no strength left. God wants to renew you, to encourage, strengthen, heal you and me, every one of us, with his word. And we each have, represented by this, different resources, represented by my wallet. Some with a lot, some with a little. How much money has been invested in your life? For some of us, it is hundreds of thousands of pounds through the education, for example, and the training I have been blessed to receive. That might be true for you. Some have a lot. Some of you have very little at all. Each one as God determines. And God is saying, Jesus is saying this parable, one day I'm going to return. Matthew chapter 24 is all about Jesus returning. He is going to return. One day we will meet him. It could be today. Nobody knows, Jesus says. But live like two of these servants, as we'll hear in a moment, did, being ready to give an account, not to a hard despot, but to our loving Father who has lavished on us, whether it's a little or a lot, these resources of his, the different amounts of money invested in our lives that we have and that we've been given in different ways, our time on earth, our talents or gifts, our health and strength, all of us receiving the life and death of his son. For many years in my life, I was never a bad person. I was always very polite. I was well brought up. But I lived a life where, frankly, I was the king. That when I got up in the morning, the objective of every day was to have a successful day and to do stuff that would be good for me. When I was at university, I heard of a king of another kingdom. Instead of serving King me, I was invited to be converted, to serve another king in another kingdom who died on a cross for me, that my life could be totally different, who invited me in the power of the Holy Spirit to change my mind, to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12, verse 2. And to live like a good and faithful servant, using my gifts not for King me, but for King Jesus who did this. That's what Scripture says. He redeemed you and me. He redeemed you with this, his body and his blood on a cross. The word redeem is not one we often use. It means literally what happened when a slave had the price of their slavery paid. So they were no longer a slave. Somebody else paid the price. They were freed. And what God's word says is that we're invited to be servants of a king who has redeemed us from a slavery to life where you're serving King me and King you, serving an amazing king called Jesus, who invites you and me into his master's, his Lord's happiness. Let's hear what it says. How two of these servants in the story get this. Verse 16. The man who had received the 5 talents, are you there with me? Matthew 25, verse 16. The man who had received the 5 talents, multi-talented, went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Be like the 2 servants who get this. Do you see, they go off straight away. They're talented. They put their talents to work for their Lord. They know that any day he could return. How have you spent your time? How have you used the resources I loaned you? Don't be like the one who says, I totally forgot. Here is the verdict. Our Lord longs to speak over you. Why he's asked you to look after all this. Verse 23, his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. The word translated happiness here, it's a Greek word. It's the same word used in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. You could look at it later if you want. It describes Jesus' assurance of his father's love as he endures the cross. It's translated there, joy, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. That joy, that deep assurance of a father's love that is rocked to its very foundations in the Garden of Gethsemane, but that Jesus receives through the Holy Spirit, who wants you to hear, you who are overwhelmed by life today, you who just feel utterly untalented, you who are ill without any strength, you feel you don't have any of this, you don't feel you've got any resources or time. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is the verdict every good parent wants to give to their child. How much more your Father in heaven? To those who have a hunger to live in this way. Every day, be reminded this is your immense, mighty, awesome calling. To come and share your master's happiness. For God's sake, do this. For your own sake, do this. This is what you were created to do and to be. How do you do that today? Very practically. How do you serve Jesus? How do you be a good and faithful servant with the tools you've been given, the different colors in your palette, to use that picture? Okay, so when you come to church, here in church, for example, you've got a choice. You can either sing songs and hope that the music group do a good job, or you can give your worship. That's what we're meant to do. when you listen to a sermon. You can either sit back and say, okay, entertain me, good luck with that. Or you can lean in and say, God, what is your word that this idiot of a bloke is saying? Surely there's something in here that is for me. Different way, different mindset. After this service, it could be that there's somebody in this room or next door who simply wants somebody to say, in a way that is genuine, how are you? How are you? Honestly. And really be interested. Or, sorry, I don't know you. What's your name? That is what Jesus wants to do with them. You see, living for the kingdom in a way that's transformed by the Spirit is simply doing something that Jesus would do. Something that Jesus would do. And sometimes it doesn't take a lot of gifting to do it. It just takes compassion. Just takes compassion. In the house and the hall next door, there's some amazing people. A couple of them are paid to do what they're doing, but a lot of them aren't. Have we ever said, whether it's our children or not, have we ever said thank you? I mean, Jesus would. Honestly, kingdom living is doing, with the colors he's given you, with the resources he's given you in your life, something Jesus wants to do through you. And it's not just church stuff. Tomorrow, what are you doing? What are you doing? Some of you have immense responsibility in charge of people. And a great responsibility. Jesus wants to help you in the power of his Spirit to discharge that immense responsibility. That you won't be crushed by it, but that you can be a good and faithful servant in that. Some of you might have got a lot of time and you say, I really don't know what I can do to serve God. Let me tell you, if that's you, come and talk with me. I can give you literally 10 ideas of where you could serve God's kingdom. That's my job. This church has everyday stuff that you can do to serve God and his kingdom purposes, with your time, with your money, with your gifts, with your health, with your strength, whether it is a little or a lot. In what way can I serve you, Lord? You have been faithful with a few things. I'll give you more. That's what God says, not to burn you out. No, the opposite, to share the Lord's happiness, which is that of Jesus, knowing your Father's encouragement in your life. Even Jesus had it as he endured the cross. You can't be faithful with what you don't have. You don't have to be like others. You're not meant to be. You're simply to offer in Jesus' service what you do have. Do you remember Jesus takes a little boy's packed lunch? He feeds 5,000 with it. He takes some water at a wedding. He turns it into 150 gallons of vintage wine. Those of us who are parents, he takes our desire to bring up your children and teach them about Jesus to help you. He takes your words of encouragement and speaks through them. He takes your prayers and hears them. He takes your questions of concern for others and expresses his compassion through them. You've been rescued from a life where you're serving King Me to a life of greater significance. Whatever you do, whatever you're doing tomorrow, whatever you're doing today. And finally, and we finish with this, the third servant doesn't get it. For God's sake, do not be like him. Verse 24, can you see it? Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Don't be like him. The servant does not know who God is. He does not know his Lord's love, his character, his generosity. God does not harvest where he hasn't sown. He doesn't gather where he has not scattered seed. He is not a hard man. We eat and drink the bread and wine of communion to remember God is the one who gives and who gives, who has sown into your life, who has poured himself out for you that we might live for him. By looking after as wise and faithful and good servants all he's given. Today, what can I do differently because I know Jesus is Lord and his Spirit's present in my life? The master's verdict on the final servant was throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is not God's heartfelt desire for you or for me. He invites us to share his presence, his peace, his kingdom. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance, the kingdom of abundance. This is what our week of prayer and fasting is all about, to change our minds, to be renewed in our minds by the Holy Spirit, the hunger for more of his kingdom. As the band come forward now, I'm going to lead us in a prayer of confession and a prayer of asking that every little bit of time, a lot or a little we have, that every gift we have, a little or a lot, that every ounce of strength, little or a lot, every bit of our resources, including but not only our money, might be a sign of God's kingdom. If this is your prayer, I simply invite you to pray it with me, this prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for every way I have not stewarded, looked after well what you gave me, or I took it for granted. For every way I wanted my gifts to be for myself. For not using my strength and health for you. For forgetting that your time is your time that you've given to me. And that one day in time you will return. And I am sorry for every way I did not use my resources well or generously. Change my mind. Transform me. Use my life for your kingdom, that we may be an answer to your prayer you taught us, that through our lives your kingdom will come, your will be done. That through our lives your kingdom might come and your will be done.